Welcome. This particular session, Birthright, I think is the title, is through a series of reading in the Word and then inspired revelation by the Holy Spirit. So thank you for joining me and listening. Ask the Lord in Jesus' name and by His blood to speak truth to you by the Spirit and reveal to you what the Lord Himself would say to you personally, because there are personal applications to these stories that have been put in the scripture for our exhortation, direction, guidance, and instruction. Let's look at, there's the Torah reading for today, the half Torah, and then the Brit Chadashah. I'm going to take an excerpt. It's from Genesis 25 and 26. I'm going to take the excerpt for the Torah reading from Genesis 25, 21b. Rebekah, his wife, conceived, but the children struggled within her. And she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. Key thing. Let's ask the Lord why these things are happening. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And then Malachi chapter 1 and part of chapter 2 is the Haftorah reading. And we will look at Malachi 1, 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. "I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness." Here the Lord states, Jacob he loved, but Esau he hated. Let's look at Romans 9, 6 through 26. Oh, sorry. 9, 6 through 33. "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel." Okay, so let's look at logic. And we'll look at mathematically. There's the set Israel, but in that set, say there's 100 in Israel, not all of them are Israel. "Nor are they all children, because they are seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called." So there was Ishmael, and there was Keturah's sons, some of Abraham's concubines after Sarah died. And they also became nations. "That is, those who are the children of the flesh." These are not the children of God. "But the children of the promised are counted as the seed." Now this implies, and I don't want to get into Arminianism and Calvinism as doctrines on foreordination, but there is a place where God knows beforehand who will choose him. "Now the children of the flesh are contested to the children of God." That would imply that the children are flesh and they're children of the Spirit of God, because God is Spirit. "But the children of the promise," so that's the children of God, or the children of the promise, "are counted as the seed." That is, those who have the potential to become children of God, the children of promise. "For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son." So we are talking about Sarah's son, Isaac. And not only this, okay, so he's going to give another example. So this is a parallel teaching, so you understand the logic that the Apostle Paul is using here to the Romans. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, okay, so he is the word of promise, the seed, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. The key phrase, purpose of God according to election might stand. This is what we're looking at. This is the thesis of this idea that the apostle is putting out here. Not of works, okay, but of him who calls. So it's according to God's election, okay, that he might move his purposes. For what? The seed, the promised seed to come through Abraham's seed line, that out of him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. We need to ask God for his mercy. Oh my. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, okay, the Pharaoh at the time of Moses, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he also says in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. All right, this really lays out clearly that God chooses whom he wants to. He's already foreordained it, and he will have vessels of mercy and vessels prepared for destruction, and that it's God who's willing, right? Who's this? It's the purpose of God according to election might stand. Okay? And this is what it stands. I want to go ahead to Romans 11, 5 here and look at a little where I believe the Apostle Paul picks up the argument or the thought again. For I do not desire, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. This is the mystery and the great and glorious mystery of the house of Israel, the 12 tribes. We're not talking about Judah, who is just the Jews in this terms today. We are talking the house of Israel. Let me just elaborate a little bit on the house of Israel. There was division after the time of Solomon's reign between the northern and the southern kingdom. The 10 tribes were the northern kingdom, which was the house of Israel, and the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were the Jews, the house of Judah. And thereafter, you will find prophecies in Zechariah and Amos, other places, that distinguish between these two houses. Now, the northern kingdom later was dispersed among the nations, and we'll look at some of those prophecies. And let's go on and talk about, as we were speaking, they were earlier, there are some, a work that the Lord is doing by calling an election. It says in Amos, let me go there, chapter 9, which is a very interesting book for me personally. That's the Amos. In Amos, it says, are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me? Amos 9:7. O children of Israel, says the Lord, did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kephtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Okay, the house of Jacob is all the 12 tribes, all the children of Israel, says the Lord. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain. So what is the grain? The seed. Okay, the seed of the children of God, the seed of the heirs of promise shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. That is the judgment of God for rebellion and disobedience, who say the calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. And that is the promise of the Lord about that happen. The northern tribes were sifted in all the nations, and there's been much current study done on where the tribes dispersed and the houses that they were dispersed to, where the houses went to. They were called the lost tribes, but Yair Davidi and some others lost Israelite identity, the Hebrew ancestry of the Celtic race, Yair Davidi the tribes, Ephraim, he says, in part went to Britain, Manasseh is America, Reuben, France, Simeon, Celts and Jews, Levi with the Jews, Yehuda, Jutes and Jews, Issachar, Swiss and Finns, Zebulun, Holland, Gad, Sweden, Asher, the Scots, Benjamin, the Belgian, Normans, Naphtali, Dan, the Danes and Celts, and Naphtali, the Norwegians. Now, if you're, when I was first saved, I asked the Lord, what was my inheritance? Because I had read these scriptures and said, well, Jacob, one of the reasons that God despised Esau is because he did not hold in esteem the birthright, the inheritance, the blessings of the Lord. He sold them for a bowl of beans. He sold out. He was cheap, you know, cheap sell. And then he regretted later, and there was no place left for him for repentance. God knows that. So I asked God, well, what's my tribe? What is it? And he said, well, your inheritance is Judah. And so I thought that all was spiritual. Oh, Judah, blah, 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 you know, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. And it was about worship, and I thought that was good. But there is a deeper and fuller revelation of that, because all these tribes, there are Jews in China, in India. There were synagogues. There were synagogues all over the earth. And there have now, in archaeological findings, been Jewish writings, even from ancient archaeological sites, when Hebrew, probably before Nimrod, Hebrew was the language of all the earth. And in the rebellion for the New World Nimrod Babylonian order, the languages were broken up. So confusion came in, and they could not exalt the sons of God, their dominion, and Nimrod, who became a Gibborim, a mighty one, could not exalt themselves above God. Ephesians 4, 1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles. Okay, this is calling election. Okay, the purposes of God. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Boy, is there a lot of that. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is the outline of the operation and the function of the the spiritual body of Christ that is attached to the head and what that unity looks like. It's no more divisions, no more divisiveness. All these things are joined together as we mature in Christ. And 2 Timothy 2:20 says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This is a definition of those who are vessels and the different vessels in the house. And the different, and of course, the scripture before that we discussed the roles of those purposes, those vessels, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, that they were designed by the Lord to the purpose of God according to election might stand. That they were designed by the Lord to fulfill the purposes of God, that he elects and calls and chooses them for his reconciling, this ministry of reconciling, bring all things back into unity of his, him, and who he is. All right, let's go back to Amos chapter 9. I'll pick up at the 8th verse. Oh, I'm sorry, the 10th. 9th, for surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. What is the tabernacle of David? It's the Mishkan. It's the tent. It's Emmanuel, God tabernacling with us. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He is the tabernacle. He is the head of his body, and he tabernacles with us. He will the whole house of Israel is sifted among the nations, and he will gather them back under him, in his tabernacle, in the Lord. All of Israel will be saved. He will bring the whole of Israel back into the Lord, in the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah 49. And here it says, Isaiah 49. And now the Lord says, verse 5, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, as in the Messiah, the Jesus, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob? Okay, my servant is capitalized. My servant speaks of God, the servant of the Lord. It's a messianic prophecy to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Who's that? The whole house of Israel. And to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvations to the ends of the earth. This is speaking of all things being reconciled, the lost tribes being gathered back into him, the sieve that has been that sifted the seed of God through all the nations. Now, Zechariah also speaks about the restoration in verse 10 of Judah and Israel, and the deliverance of Judah in Zechariah 12, meaning the Jews. The Jews in this particular prophecy, excuse me, in Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Who do they pierce? Isaiah 53. Whom they pierce? It's the Messiah, the suffering servant, the salvation to the ends of the earth. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family by itself. Now we're getting into family structures. The family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of Shimeah by itself, and their wives by themselves. All the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. And it goes on to say in Zechariah 13 that the idolatry will be cut off, and the shepherd's savior will come and purge the land, and two-thirds will die and be cut off, and one-third shall be brought left and brought through the fire and refined. I want to read that. Zechariah 13, and it shall, 8, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. Now we're talking the land of Israel. But one-third shall be left in it, and I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will ask them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. And then in Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. Half of the city shall go into captivity. But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half of it towards the south. Then you shall flee through the mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. And yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Well, where's that? That's in Jude, and that's in Revelation 19. It says the Lord shall return on that particular ridge in that day on the Mount of Olives. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these names, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have commanded in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, that is the Dead Sea, and half of them towards the western sea, that is the Mediterranean. And both summer and winter shall occur, that then the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name is one. So this is a messianic prophecy, and that is laying out the order of events. This is going to happen, then that's going to happen, then this is going to happen. Now, the prophets of old have longed to see the days that we are in and the fulfillment of so many prophecies handing, and that we're at the very door of this. And what is this door? Well, let's take a look at Ezekiel 37, talks about the dry bones living and coming together, and the stick of Judah and the children of Israel. And right on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and then join them together. So the stick of Judah, Yehuda, the Jews, and the children of Israel, and his companions. And the other stick is the stick of Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel and his companions. Now, let me submit to you that that prophecy is the house of Ephraim is Britain and America. And those tribes fulfill some of those prophecies of the 12 tribes and the fulfillment of this God's seed. And he goes on to say that God will gather them of Israel from among all the nations. This is verse 21, Ezekiel 37, 21. Wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them back into their own land. Okay? So they've been brought into their own land. And then God is going to purge them and cleanse them of their idolatry and make a covenant with them. And it says in verse 27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Has that happened? No. Is it? It's kind of a hand over fist. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Now we're going to stop and talk about the sanctification process that we touched upon in Zechariah. That two-thirds of the people will be cut off and die, and one-third will be remain, and they will go through a purging of as if of fire, as silver, to sanctify them, to make them holy, refined in the crucible of a furnace. Let's look at that in Ezekiel 38. I'm going to read in its entirety Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then just give a summary overview of how this connects in to our discussion of the house. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel 38, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companions that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell in safety. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And it will come to pass at the same time, when God comes against the land of Israel, says God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many peoples who are with them, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bringing you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the beasts, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. And it will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will be obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all the multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bones, he shall set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. The name of that city also will be Hamonah. Thus they shall cleanse the land. And as for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you, a great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk. And my sacrificial meal, which I'm sacrificing for you, you shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men, and with all the men of war, says the Lord God. I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. Because they were unfaithful to me, therefore I will hide my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob, and I have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. After they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid. When I brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Okay, the house of Israel, all 12 tribes. I will bring them back. Okay, so this is talking about a great war. Now, there are some people who allege or conjecture that the fulfillment of bring hooks into your jaws with all these warriors and bring them into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of these nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Some people say this is the United States of America because this prophecy is America has the indigenous people are not the rulers that were here originally on the land, that people from all nations, that the United States of America is a melting pot of many, many nations that have come back to this land that was desolate. It was once filled. That prior to the flood, when the continents were together, this was part of the Atlantis society, and there were great civilizations, which there are archaeological evidence thereof. But that this is a fulfillment of that prophecy, that's the United States of America, perhaps. I'm just putting this idea on the table. Others say it's a literal fulfillment of Israel, because this prophecy has also been fulfilled now in the land in the Middle East, where all these people have come out of the nations. But Israel is considered to be Jews, Judah, from the tribe of Judah. Well, perhaps, but it says the definition of this land is it's a land of unwalled villages, a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you come? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Now, Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish are conventionally thought of to be Spain and the land of Sheba, from which the Queen of Sheba came, and Dedan are often thought to be, and the northern part of Africa. Sheba being Saudi Arabia. Of course, this begs the question, why would these people be asking about the United States of America? Or are they truly asking about the land Israel in the Middle East that these countries border. And of course, Gog, Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, these are the lands north, it says very clearly, of Israel. Well, some people say, well, Gomer is Germany, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are current names. That north, that they will come up from the north, they will go over the Arctic Pole and come down through Canada onto the United States of America. Well, and that here it says livestock and goods. Well, livestock, there's livestock in Israel, but this, in other interpretations, it says cattle and goods. So they say, they conjecture that or postulate that, well, you know, there's not really cattle in Israel. There's sheep and goats and chickens, but there really aren't cattle. And then any, as it goes on, it says that there will be a great earthquake. And that God himself, the point of this is that God will send on fire on Magog. He himself will rise up against these people who come against Israel. Now it says the mountains of Israel, it gives definition. It gives this, the valley, it says in verse 11, I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea. Now that would be the Mediterranean. Customarily, that's a description of the Mediterranean in the phrasing of this ancient prophet. It says, you'll fall on the mountains of Israel, all in your people. You shall fall in the open fields. I'll send a fire on Magog and those who live in security in the coastlands. Coastlands often known as the coastlands of the Mediterranean at this time period. And they shall know that I'm the Lord. And this is a key phrase, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Now, this is the purpose for all this great war. Could it be the United States of America and Israel? Yes, it could be both. Could it be the whole house of Israel? Because it says in the end here, in verse 29, and I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God, which is one of the Ezekiel 36, 22 says, say to, I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you out from among the nations, gather you out of all your countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. The purpose of this whole judgment is because Israel, the house of Israel, whether they be Jews, the covenant people, or Christians, or an alleged Christian nation, have profaned God's name among the nations. Now, I will bring back Ezekiel 39:25, the captivity of Jacob, okay? The captives of Jacob, and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. All of Israel shall be saved. And I will be jealous for my holy name. after they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. This has not been fulfilled completely, and I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. And let's go just one more time back to that Zechariah scripture, which says in 13, it's talking about the idolatry being cut off. And then in Zechariah 14, the day of the Lord, it says, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left, and I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. Thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, back to Romans 9 and 11. And so they will be cut off, and then God will graft them back in to him. And all of Israel shall be saved. The house. Thus, there so stand and see your deliverance. And Yeshua said he will come once again for salvation and place his foot on the Mount of Olives, and the whole earth will be shaken. God bless.